This title, I changed slightly from the one in the abstract because it said collision, and I want to say meshing because there is some attempt to reconcile. It's not just a fight, but it is a genuine struggle to get public projects going if they're not of a certain kind. So there's a couple websites. The top one is the train project itself, and it's also available in Facebook. All right, now let's see if we'll move. It's not forwarding.
Try just clicking.
I am trying.
Try the arrow
on the keyboard. I will go there.
It's not. You're in Acrobat.
Yes, but that's right. I brought a PDF file. We can load the PowerPoint if we have to.
Well,
in fact, my guidance said bring
it. You're just going to have to do it with the...
Yeah, I tried. Oh, you mean the wheel, okay.
Or down arrow, probably. Let me just see down arrow first.
All right, we'll do it this way. We got something that works.
Okay.
Stop it!
Down arrow.
All right. I was using these, okay.
Use this one.
All right. Sonoma Marin area is north of San Francisco. And to show you the map, it's a 70-mile project from the ferry at Larkspur to Cloverdale, and it was floated on a ballot measure in 2008, a quarter-cent sales tax of two counties. It turns out, however, that because of the recession, the project was scaled back to phase one and phase two, and phase one is 42 miles, as shown here, and the second phases will extend a mile and a half south and 25 miles further north. The project, the group that I'm involved in fact, I chair, is called Friends of SMART, but we're not just cheerleaders like they'd have us be, because we think that we're going to make sure that the project is not merely an engineering success, which it will be, but also a social and social and environmental success. We want to be the voice of the community as well as the writer. We serve among ourselves as a forum and a clearinghouse for information, neighborhood impacts, and so forth. And the opposition, which I will describe in some detail, needs countering by op-eds in the paper and by public gatherings and so forth. And we do that. So it's ASA, and we talk about why we're doing this from a Christian point of view. And the first one is Jeremiah 29:7. The Israelites were told, okay, when you go off to captivity, don't just become passive citizens, work in that community. And if we see ourselves as being in Babylon, as a Christian community living in a community or nation of Babylon, we should be making that community better. And that's what I think I'm doing. You all know about earthkeeping and about justice, and I'm not going to say anything about those because I assume everybody is well-versed in that if you've come through ASA meetings in the past. Instead, I want to call your attention to a recent book that's just come out, The Rise of the Nuns. And the idea that this author is making is that if you want to reach out to unbelievers, they're not coming to our churches. One way to do it is to get yourself involved in a cause that they believe in. And transit is a cause, especially if it's environmentally responsible transportation and land use planning. That's a good place to meet a lot of people who are not churched. And it's perhaps even more than you want, but it's an interesting and useful idea. We have, you all know, evolved into a car monoculture. And public transportation is about 3% of our total moving of goods, of people. Nancy and I drove down here from Omaha. Why on earth? Well, because we took Amtrak to Omaha. And we did that because it's something I like to do and my wife tolerates it. And but we got to come through eastern Kansas and eastern Nebraska and eastern Oklahoma, and it's a car culture. Absolutely. The towns, all you could find were the food chains, fast food chains, the mom and pop restaurants were gone. And it's all suburban sprawl, strip malls and auto-based culture north and south of all the cities. That's not new. You're aware of that. But public transit, as you can see, has grown some, but as a part of the whole, it's not very big. The amount of number of people driving alone also is growing, but it's the rate of growth is slowing down. That's an encouragement. And by the way, bicycling and walking as ways to get to work are increasing. Transportation. My thesis is the way we're doing it in this country, the way we have done it for 75 years, is not sustainable. Now, this picture is an exaggeration. It's actually in China, but it gives you the picture because one of the byproducts, not just land use and time loss and congestion, is also greenhouse gases. And I'll get to that point in more depth. But Isaiah 2:7 says, the land is full of horses, there's no end to their chariots. And indeed, we have done just that. Our culture is very, very expensive and very resource intensive. The infrastructure costs of a roadway, $100 billion a year and rising, and all the infrastructure costs to support the sprawl that the roadways support or kindle. Personal cost is estimated, if you really count it, as $9,000 a year to own and operate a car on average in the United States. Gasoline here is marvelously cheap. No wonder you drive a lot. None of you live here, but those who you do, no wonder. I mean, it's $1.50 more per gallon in California than we were seeing here. Total cost to the U.S. Is $1 trillion or more. Oil, 70% of the oil consumption in the U.S. goes to transportation, most of that to personal transportation, which amounts to about $300 to $500 billion a year. Less of it is going overseas now because of fracking, but it's still happening. And one third of our greenhouse gases in this country come from personal transportation, or transportation, and half of our urban air pollution. Our roots, civil engineering. This is an engineering session. Engineers do what they're supposed to do. They build to meet the demand. We also create demand. And the argument here is that we need to include social and environmental sciences in our transportation planning to get from where we're headed now, or the course we've been on. Transit use has grown, and it's grown since 2004 faster than population. So the upper line is transit passenger miles, and the middle near the street line is population, and the lower line is vehicle miles traveled. So that would imply that we're not driving as much, but we're certainly commuting a lot, and transit is taking some part of it. I won't ask you to read that. I copied this chart from somebody else, but I do want you to note that there are 94 streetcar, commuter, hybrid, heavy, and light rail systems now operating in the U.S. By transit agencies, and 70% of those have been built since 1970. They're not ancient lines being resurrected. 23 new commuter and hybrid rail systems, 6 heavy rail, 31 new light rail and streetcar systems since 1970. So there is progress in public transit. This is what SMART is building and using. Diesel multiple units, pictures of the outside and inside. They're being built in Illinois by Sumitomo of America. And just give you some pictorial information about the project. The tracks will be shared with freight, and so there are special rules that apply. And in fact, because we have crash-worthy FRA-compliant vehicles that are capable of survival in a crash with a train, you have to bring the passengers closer to the platform, and the rail, the freight, has to be a certain distance away in case there's a old-fashioned brakeman on the side of a boxcar. These rules have been in place a long time, so we have gauntlet tracks to allow the trains, the passengers, to get close to the platform and the freight trains to swing past them. Cheaper than double track. That's the only reason they're doing it that way. Diesel engines are Tier 4, which is the FRA just beginning to come out with Tier 4 diesel engines, which are extremely clean. In fact, they'll meet the EPA stringent standards. If you can read that, the CO2 is in kilograms per mile, the NOx is in grams per horsepower hour, and the particulate matter is also grams per horsepower hour. Lower emissions in locomotives, and some people say the air coming out is cleaner than the air being taken in to their combustion chambers. Greenhouse gas reduction. 60% of the gases, greenhouse gases, CO2 at least, in our two counties is from transportation. Based on estimated ridership, the greenhouse gas reductions will be about 31 million pounds a year. And that doesn't include the fact that there's a bicycle pedestrian pathway along the whole 70 miles that will allow people to use bicycles to commute if they choose. And people will also take shuttles instead of their personal cars to the trains. So travel modes, energy intensity. My argument here is that rail transit is less energy intensive than any other means of transportation. And the reason is because the low rolling resistance of steel wheel on steel rail. So if we could shift significant numbers of people to rail ridership, we could make a major impact on energy consumption. And construction started shortly after the bond was passed in, the tax measure was passed in 2009. Construction is now, well, you can read this, I won't read you all the details, but phase one is almost done. Cross ties are concrete, grade crossings 40 have been rebuilt, two tunnels have been rebored, or at least restructured, and quite a few bridges and trestles. $438 million in construction, which comes out to about $10 million a mile, which seems expensive, but it's rebuilding an old line. It's also dirt cheap compared to heavy rail like Washington Metro or BART or a highway. Caltrans has spent $30 million a mile to build just HOV lanes on Highway 101 in the same corridor. So the studies say this is a good place to put a transit system. The green dots are stations along the route. The red dots are where 10 people live. So we are going right through the heart of the population in both counties. And where are the jobs? So that in the ridership studies, there's also a lot of study of who's working where and how are they getting there. So this is just a portion of the line showing this kind of detail was followed in pursuing the forecast for the performance of the system. Safety and regulatory steps. People say, well, we're overregulated. Well, I'm kind of progressive in my thinking, but I tell you, when you see this, you think maybe we're overregulated. The number of agencies and regulations that have to be addressed to build a transit line are just staggering. Now, the transportation state transportation groups have their own in-house offices to do with all this, whereas a new agency just starting up has to hire and find or contract the people to do all this work, the kinds of compliances that have to be done. And here are some of the agencies that have to be satisfied that are responsible for overseeing all of these rules. It is enormous. I can't begin to tell you the amount of effort that goes into satisfying all the regulations to ensure that we are doing justice to the creation and the people on it. The train crash in Burbank a few years ago caused Congress to mandate something called positive train control for all transit systems nationwide where freight and passenger share the same line, the same route. It will prevent, if technology can ever do so, prevent train-to-train collisions, overspeed operations like the situation in Philadelphia just recently, enforce slow zones when there's labor going on, no conflicting movements at freight turnouts and passing grades, and warning systems if the at-grade crossings are not working, crossing gates are not working right, the operator or the dispatcher will know that. But it cost $50 million to put that on this line. So that's a cost that wasn't there when the bond measure, the TICA measure was passed. So surety is like insurance. It's how do I know I'm going to be safe? So there's redundancy. That's the way you build it into a system. So basically, the engineer has manual control, but he knows the speed limits, and there's emergency braking that can be applied. But this is also true in Philadelphia, and yet there was overspeed. So now we're going to add audio and visual warnings to the driver if there's anything that doesn't fit with the external guidelines. Automatic train control, which means the dispatcher can stop the train, or it can stop itself automatically by computer control, and not restart until permission to proceed is given. So that's surety, and the cost of it, again, $50 million to achieve that level of safety. Here's the old route. Was freight only, hadn't been in service for 20 years, began to tear it apart and rebuild completely with modern continuous rail and concrete ties. And
5 minutes
for the railway crossings or slabs to make them smooth, tunnels, new drawbridge, which we bought from Galveston and hauled up to Petaluma. Illegal crossings are a problem if it's been out of business for 20 years. People put their own crossings over it, and you have to decide how to solve that problem. Creosote ties, a redwood tree that was considered to be an albino and rare was moved 400 feet so that we could be good neighbors to the people who valued that redwood tree. It had grown up since the tracks, or at least had grown up too close to the tracks. Sensitive habitat species had to be dealt with. The Title VI program is how do you assure that you're taking account of the needs of minorities and impoverished people. So there's a great deal of study done for that, like where are the Hispanics up and down the route, and where are the low-income people? So you have to have a program to make sure that you're accessing, giving those people equal access or preferred access. Quiet zones, people will go around the gates, so you put up a concrete median to keep them from doing that. But then, and so there's an example, but then some people don't like them because they say they're cluttering up our city, they're unsafe, people don't see them and drive into them, and we can't turn left when we want to. So we're trying to figure out how do you solve that problem. So here's the crux of the social and spiritual, if you will. There is a roving band of troubadours, if you will, of organized opposition. Whenever there's a transit project starting any place in the country, these people will come and they will join up with local opponents and start singing the same songs in the newspapers by public flyers and meetings and so forth. The same songs are heard nationwide whenever you are working on transit. So just for fairness, I list some of those anti-transit groups, and the pro-transit groups are an equal number, but perhaps not as well funded. So some of the myths, the ones in red are the ones that we've been hit with in our project. The others are just the ones that you can read off these websites, anti-transit websites. And I won't read them to you. I assume you can read them for yourself, but there's many, and they're similar. We used to live in the Portland area, and I saw when they were building TriMet, and I saw it there, and I tried to rebut some of it, but I didn't realize I'd see the same stories all over again a dozen years later.
2 minute marker.
More myths. You can read them for yourself. You'll have to because I don't have time. My point is that anti-transit activists have to deny things at a lot of levels. Like global warming is a myth. And so It's really a socialist plot. You've heard both of those things. It requires government subsidy, ignoring the fact that, well, so do highways. It takes away our individual liberty, and we can solve traffic by laying more pavement. We don't worry about land because there's plenty of land, and so forth. And petroleum is plentiful. We just should use it. So let me say in summary that I think this is where it's going to look. It's going to be successful beyond our wildest dreams. They probably won't let, with U.S. regulations, people ride on the roof. But I think including tourism is going to be successful than any of us dream. So do I have time for any questions?
Yeah, let's have a couple questions. Three or four minutes for questions.
Yes, Bill?
Jack, I think what we're working on is very productive in your area. But I've lived for 30 years in rural areas with very low population densities. What would you recommend in those areas?
I think people from rural areas are really fine people, and they have a different world than the one I live in. I'm not going to try to get you to build a train to take you from your ranchette to the university. It doesn't make economic sense there. So this isn't the solution for everyone everywhere, but it's certainly a solution for high-density corridors.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, Jack, I'm wondering what you think about the high-speed rail project that's been so controversial from San Francisco to Los Angeles, except it's going through much less populated areas to get started. Is that something you...
Well, there's high-speed rail. What about evacuated tubes so you go in a capsule for 500 miles? What do you think of that idea? I get claustrophobic just thinking about it. But Elon Musk would have us get in these little capsules and fly. His secret is getting rid of air resistance, which is a big part of high-speed energy consumption at high speed. High-speed rail works around the world. Why are we less progressive than China and Japan and all of Europe? Why do we resist it when the rest of the world is more energy efficient than automobiles by far, and faster and more energy efficient than air travel? It does, however, use more land. So running it through rich farmland is a problem. Why can't we run it on the hillsides? Because it costs more to grade hillsides. So if it's unproductive farmland or an unproductive rangeland, I think it's good. Yes, sir?
So phase one is about 40 miles. Phase two would be 70 miles. And when
phase two will be the rest of the 70 miles.
Yeah, so when would those be initial operating?
Well, the first train will run on the first phase next year, a year from now. The second phase, we're still collecting the money. It's going to come in from the sales tax, but now, although we first thought we could build the whole thing on our own sales tax and a bond issue and fare box recovery, now instead we're having to look for federal money because of the recession and these increased costs. The problem is federal money is getting harder to get and for transit than it is. Although the Senate, I'm told, just this week is trying to put together omnibus transportation package, which I'm hoping will give some new life to public transit projects. Yes, ma'am?
About funding, do you think that transit funding should be local like that, or is it something that the federal government should really be?
The federal government loves it when you have local funding to match, and you tend to attract more. The highways are federally funded, although they just send the money to the states and the states decide where to spend it, but they collect it and they have a budget. The problem is highway funding is in the annual budget, and they have a guaranteed, what's it called, the highway transit?
Highway Trust Fund.
Trust Fund, thank you. Transit has never had that privilege. They've always had to go back for renewed funding every year. That's why automobile transportation has always come out ahead. So that needs to be changed. Transit needs to be, in my mind, have a trust fund as a part of, like the highways do.
Any more questions? Maybe one short one? One question and...
two half short ones.
What?
On the access to the line, we now have
self-driving cars, we have Uber. How does this impact increasingly ridership?
I'm only speaking for myself here, but there are a lot of people in California who won't give up their cars for anything because their egos are involved in them. They don't want to self-drive because they want to drive to show how good they are.
May Keith close out of this to get his slides up?
Of course.
Okay.
So it may be safer, but there's a very big social hurdle to overcome before that technology gets accepted.
It did not mean them driving themselves to where they were going. As the footprint of the transit line, what can we do to increase the accessibility of people getting to the transit line?
Yes. That's a first and last mile issue that it's called, and getting people to there shuttles are the best way because that gets people out of their cars. Bring coordinate buses with the trains, and players can coordinate shuttles to their place of employment with the trains and so forth. And communities, that's why transit-oriented development is such an important issue. If people live near transit, they'll tend to use it.